And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I would hear older saints quote that verse and quote that verse. And as a young Christian, I didn't understand that verse very well. I'd hear it and I would hear it. But you know, the older that I get and the more that I get and see throughout the world and all that God does through our life, I'm beginning to understand a whole lot more about Romans 8:28 than I used to. Years ago, especially when I first began pastoring, you would look at that verse and I mean, you claim, well, I know, you know, I don't understand it, but I know that all things were, I don't know why this is happening, but I know all things work together for good. And you quote that trying to get some encouragement. But you know, really now that you are at this place and you look back, you say, they really do. All things, every detail in our life, God has ordered those details. Now, sometimes even in our own sin and our own disobedience, things happen, but yet God still knew that. But God has never put anything in my life to hurt me. It has always been to help me. And once I've came to that place and have gotten, I've not yet arrived, I'm just saying, I'm a little further down the creek today than I was 20 years ago when I first started pastoring. And now I understand that God, 10 years ago when I didn't understand that thing, I now sit here and look back and say, because of that thing, it has worked together with this thing. And now God's working all things together. And when I think about that verse, my heart goes to Genesis chapter number 37, dealing with a man by the name of Joseph. And when I think about Joseph, and this is where my heart is tonight, when I think about Joseph, I think about his life. And when you look at the life of Joseph, there's a lot of things from his perspective you really don't understand why these things are happening. But because of these things that God's permitting in his life, the end result is going to be something that God is going to use for his glory. And I think about the life of Joseph, and I think about my own life, and I think about his life was a ministry. His life was a ministry. And when God calls us, not just preachers, but God calls us, we enter into the ministry. Life is a ministry. Life is about people. And life is, I mean, so as we go through life and we understand everything that's going, God in heaven is orchestrating this thing that's going to bring him the glory. I think about Joseph, and I think about, I'd read some years ago and had penciled some things down about Joseph, how that in the Old Testament, Joseph is a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just several of these that by way of introduction I'll share with you tonight, talking about Joseph being a picture. I want you to remember this, in his life, in his ministry, he was that picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like you and I, when we are saved, we become new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we are let our light so forth shine before men. We want people to see Jesus in us and not us in us. So when you think about that, just some characteristics about Joseph. Joseph and Jesus, both are firstborn. Both are shepherds. Joseph was sent by his father to his brothers. Jesus was also sent by his father. Both were made slaves. Both were falsely accused. Both were punished. Both were with two others condemned to die, one of which was pardoned and given life. The king of Egypt exalted Joseph out of slavery to be ruler over all to bring under the king's rule. Jesus is exalted out of slavery to bring all under God's rule. Both were given a Gentile bride by the king. The king of Egypt appointed Joseph to be the sole source of life for all. God appointed Jesus to be our sole source of eternal life. Both offer forgiveness to those who sought to destroy them. Joseph's brothers shared Pharaoh's favor because of Joseph, not themselves. We share God's favor because of Jesus, not because we're worthy of it. Both were given a name meaning Savior. All knees bowed to Joseph, and one day all knees will bow to Jesus. While only Jesus was truly sinless, Joseph is one of the few people significantly written about in the Bible which no sins were ever mentioned. Just some characteristics of the two. Now we know Joseph was not a perfect man, and we understand that, but in the thought of that, that all things work together, just think about that. I want to preach tonight just for a little bit on this thought, the life and ministry of Joseph. The life and ministry of Joseph. And I'd like the Lord to take this thought, if he would, and work that into our own lives whenever things in our life happen that we don't understand. When things go on that we don't understand, that we can look back toward heaven and understand, just like we heard the preacher say about the Bible is truth and we can trust God. God is faithful. I don't understand why things happen the way they happen, but I do know that all things work together for good to them that love Jesus, to them that are called according. Amen. To his will. Thank God it all works together. And as we think about this thought about Joseph and the life and ministry of Joseph, there's several things. We're going to be in our Bible quite a bit over the next little bit, and we're going to read a bunch of scripture and asking God to be our helper. Amen. And so let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again tonight for the good word of God. And Father, I thank you for this privilege of allowing us to be a part of this service. And Lord, I recognize tonight, and I'm not just saying it, but I can do nothing without you. And Lord, this truth that you've birthed in my soul, would you help it, Lord, to be, Lord, be preached and be received. And Lord, help us tonight from the preaching of God's precious and holy and perfect word. For our Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In chapter number 37 of the book of Genesis, there are several things I want you to notice that the groundwork is laid. First, the Bible, when it talks about Joseph and we understand who he is, the Bible will speak about his age. Will you look at him now in verse number 2, the Bible said, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And I think it's important that the Bible tells us the age that he was. I'm afraid sometimes we think that we've got to be a lot older before God can use us, or older before we become obedient to what God wants in our life, but yet the Bible will teach us that this was a 17-year-old young man. It mentions his age. Not only that, but it also mentions affection, if you will. Look where the Bible said in verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. It talks about that affection. The Bible tells us specifically that Joseph's dad loved him more than he loved all the others. It speaks of that affection. Not only that, but the Bible will teach us in verse number 4 that it speaks of anger. The Bible said, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. There was a lot of anger in that family. Well, this one seems to be getting something more than I'm getting, and the anger of those others was now being told to the very fact the Bible said they literally hated him. Not only does it speak of age and affection and anger, but it also speaks of acceptance. Amen. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at verse number 13. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? He said, come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. I want you to notice his obedience. He was accepting to his father's will. His dad said, I want you to go check on your brothers. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you not think that Joseph already knew at that point that his brothers hated him? Do you not think that he already knew that he was going to a group that did not love him, that did not want him there, that absolutely hated him? Can you see could you see sitting around the dinner table and them cutting them eyes? I mean, them looking over at Joseph and cutting them eyes. And I'm telling you, but yet even in the midst of knowing that group hated him, he was willing to be obedient to his father and do what his father told him to do, and that was go check on your brothers. I believe that. I believe that's important in this whole thought process. He was obedient to his father. As you look and you think about the scripture, and we think about all that's going on here, there's several things that are going to take place. You see, what I didn't tell you about was between verses 5 and 12, Joseph has a dream. And in Joseph's dream, we find out, and most would know this, but some maybe you don't know, that Joseph had this dream, and in his dream, God told him that all of your brothers and even your father are going to bow down to you, and you will be ruled over them. And don't you know, this lighted the fire even more. Whenever he would come and tell his dream, this is what God, I promise you, let me say this to you. Sometimes when you tell people what God said to tell them, they're not always going to be happy about it. Amen. When you really tell them what God said to tell them, it ain't always going to be happiness. I mean, he said, God said that you're going to bow down to me, and God said it's a coming, and it made them even more angry and more mad, and they hated him. So they're out doing what their dads told them to do. And in the Bible, now we're going to go to the scripture, and we're going to see as Joseph now shows up on the scene in chapter 37. I want you to look, please, in verse 13 again. The Bible said, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto them, here am I. And he said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, watch this, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bringing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, let me say the first thing about the ministry and the life of Joseph here. And we find out in these verses which we read that Joseph was forsaken. He was forsaken. The Bible tells us specifically, amen, verse number 23, look at it again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. The Bible said that he was stripped. I want you to get this picture. He's walking and they see him coming and they're conspiring against him. And I can just get this picture. When I read the Word of God, just how I am, a lot of times I picture what I'm reading. I try to visualize. And they grab a hold of him and all of them other brothers rip his coat off of him. He's stripped. But the Bible didn't just say that. The Bible tells us that in verse 24, notice, and they took him and cast him into a pit. Not only was he stripped, but he was separated. They separated him from them. Here's that big pit that's in the ground, and they cast him into that pit. They stripped him, then they cast him. Amen. He's now separated from his brethren. The Bible says not only that, but in verse number 28, the Bible said, then there passed by Midianite merchantsmen, and they drew and lift up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. I want you to notice he was sold out for 20 pieces of silver. A Joseph who had done no wrong, who was an Old Testament picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ, was sold out. I'm telling you, this man was forsaken. Oh, when you think about that word forsaken, that word forsake means to desert or to leave. It means to leave behind in some place. I mean, this man was left behind. He was cast. He was separated. He was stripped. And now he's totally away from everybody. Here comes these merchant men. They draw him out and they sell him for 20 pieces. This man was forsaken. I'm going to say this to you tonight. Sometimes in the ministry, sometimes you feel like you've been forsaken. I'm just being real with you tonight, amen? Sometimes you just feel like Joseph did there, and you feel like you were sold out, amen? You feel like you've been stripped. You feel like you've been separated. You feel like you have been deserted. You feel like you've been left. I mean, Joseph now was there, and amen, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us what he says. Matter of fact, maybe that's why, because he didn't say nothing. Amen, as he's there and he is in that place, and he knows what his brothers, that they hated him and they took that coat off of him that his daddy had made for him. He's been separated. Now strangers come and take him out of that pit, and then they take and sell him off for 20 pieces of silver. And I'm telling you, Joseph was forsaken. But Joseph was not forsaken. You say, what do you mean? He was forsaken, but he wasn't forsaken. The Bible said in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Hey, man, go to verse 30, chapter 39 just for a moment. We're going to come back to verse 37, or chapter 37. In chapter number 39, amen, the Bible says in verse 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of the Egyptian, had brought him into the hands of the Ishmaelites, which brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph." And the Lord was with, when you're forsaken, you have been left alone, nobody is there. I'm telling you, from the eyes of the world, he was forsaken, but he was not forsaken. I mean, the Bible tells us clearly that the Lord was with him. Sometimes on this side of eternity, you're going to feel like you've been forsaken. But the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ would tell us, amen, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How you may feel like you're forsaken tonight, but you're not forsaken. Joseph may have felt like he was forsaken, but yet there was a holy presence that was with him. There was the God of heaven that was with him, and he didn't understand it right then, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And he was not forsaken. See, tonight you may be here and you may say, "Preacher, I've been forsaken." But you're not. I remember Brother Lee Davis making this statement. He said, you see, Jesus was a servant. Our ministry is to be servants. Brother Lee Davis said one time, said, everybody wants to be a servant till you're treated like one. Till you're treated like one. And there's going to come times in this Christian walk and you're going to feel like you're forsaken. But you're not. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. I'm going to move on tonight. But preacher, I'm telling you, there's been times. There's just been times that even in that time of being forsaken by everybody and everything, there has been a presence. And I promise you that you can't get that presence at Walmart, amen? You can't get that presence at Sam's. That presence will only come by knowing and trusting and believing and being saved by the grace of God, that presence of God. And I'm telling you what, he was forsaken, but he wasn't forsaken. Then you follow his life. We're talking about the life and ministry of Joseph, the life and ministry of Joseph. So back to chapter number 39. Will you turn there with me again, please? Let me read it. Let me start reading the first six verses. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of the Egyptian, bought him off the hands." He was sold twice. Think about that. And which brought him down hither or thither, verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him." Now let me ask you a question. Why in the world would a man who's been forsaken want to serve somebody who he wasn't supposed to serve to begin with in this life? Because he was like Jesus. This is where I'm at this point in time in my life. This is where God has brought me. I trust the providential hand of God, and this is where God has brought me. And if this is where I'm at, then I'm going to honor God, amen, by serving. I look at that, and I'm telling you, man, there's sometimes, I'm preaching to me tonight. There's sometimes as a pastor, I say, man, that crowd don't appreciate anything we're doing. I'm probably the only pastor that ever says, they don't appreciate, you know what? And I forget that I'm a servant. I forget that. You know, you preach to them, they don't listen. I'm the only preacher or pastor probably ever. They don't listen to nothing. You know? But Piercy, I found out they listen a whole lot more than I think they do. They do. But here he served him. I thought that very interesting. He served him in the midst of him being forsaken. He could serve him because he wasn't forsaken. If that ever settles in on you, you'll understand. He may have been forsaken, but he could still serve there because he had not been forsaken. The Bible says, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. He was forsaken, but he wasn't forsaken. But then you get to verse number 7. And Joseph is going to get framed. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what it is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Listen to what Joseph is saying. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her. This was not a one-time deal. This was day after day after day after day after day after day. Every day she's trying to provoke him to go against God and his word. And Joseph said, how in the world can I do that sin and sin against God? His character is being revealed. Even though he had been forsaken, because he was not forsaken, he still retained his character. And it came to pass, verse 11, at this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there with him. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he had heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife which he had spoken to him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me. And his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Man, he got framed. He got accused of doing something that he did not do. You know, when I think about Joseph. I already seen, you and I know what the scripture says. Amen. He did the right thing. His character was revealed. Amen. Whenever he did not sin against his master and the Lord. We find out that this woman framed him. I want to say this to you. There'll be times in your life when you walk with God that somebody's going to say something about you that's not true. Can I just insert something here that I've learned as a pastor? This is just what I do. And not just as a pastor, but as a Christian. When somebody comes to me, especially in the church I pastor, and they come to me and they'll say, now, Pastor, brother so-and-so said this, I'll say, time out. Let's go get him. I said, let's go get him. Let's bring him on in here, and let's you two in this room together, because I want him to hear the same. And most often they'll say, well, we'll just talk about it later. I tell our church, one thing that I cannot stand and we will not put up with is gossip. If there's anything in the world that'll split a church quicker than anything, it is gossip. And let me also say this to you. There's going to be things you're going to hear about somebody else to whom you don't know. I'm going to give you an example. One time there's this preacher, I'd never met him, and I had another preacher talking to me, and this preacher run that fella down. I mean, just talking to me, and he run that fella down, and you know, and I'd never met this man a day in my life. And he run him down and made him just sound like he was the dirt of the earth. I mean, literally. And do you know what happened? I met that fella after some time down the road, and today that is one of my best friends in all of the world, and he wasn't nothing like what that one preached. I think you ought to just get your own ideology on who somebody is or what they are, and you let God in heaven. You'll miss out on some best friends if you listen to everybody. You understand what I'm saying? But there will come times that people's going to lie on you. And he was framed. I mean, that this lady framed him. And it's evident. But the Bible says, and the Bible teaches us that he was framed. But he wasn't framed. You said, well, how do you get that? Well, the Bible answers that for us. If you look, now look in verse 21. All right, after all this took place, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor. Every time he got forsaken, the Lord was with him and gave him favor. He got framed, the Lord was with him and gave him favor. You can't beat favor in the people of God. Amen. The more they try to destroy him, the more God gives him favor. The more they try to forsake him, the more God gives him favor. The more they try to frame him, the more God gives him favor. I'm telling you that all things work together for good to them. Amen. I'm telling you, he didn't understand it, but God was working this thing out. Now he's in prison. He still hadn't said anything about being thrown in the hole. He hadn't said anything about, I mean, he told the lady, amen, he wasn't going to sin against God. But he hadn't said anything about being thrown now in the slammer. He's in prison. He was framed, but he was not framed. Let's go to Genesis chapter 40. I'm talking about the life and ministry of Joseph. You get to Genesis chapter number 40. I'm going to read several verses here. I believe it'll help us understand a little better about what's going on. Verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things, and he's in jail now. Came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And the Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, a place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Here he is serving again. Did y'all see that in verse 4? Here he is serving again. He gets thrown in a hole. Amen. He gets thrown in a pit. Goes into Potiphar's house. He's serving. Amen. He gets framed. He's serving. He's now in jail. He's serving. Why? Amen. Because he understands in his life that God's with him. God, that's so important. And the Bible said in verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man in his dream, in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we've dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? He's still acknowledging his father. It's easy to acknowledge him when I know he's with me. The Bible said in the chief butler, verse 9, told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine hand and restore thee to thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was with his butler. Can I say this? I'm reading this and I'm thinking of this. This man kept the right attitude and God was helping him. I'm reading this and I'm saying, this man has, even though he's in a bad situation, he has kept the right attitude and God in heaven is ministering to him. Your attitude means everything. Then the Bible says, but think on me, verse 14, when it shall be well with thee and show kindness, I pray thee and make mention of me and Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. So now he says, listen, when this happens, will you please remember me? And just tell Pharaoh that I'm the one that did this. My only request, please, just remember me and tell him. Would you do that for me? All right, the Bible said, for this indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I've done nothing. He's now talking about his past. I've done nothing that they should put me in this dungeon. I'm innocent. When the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was all the manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up from thy head from off thee and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which Pharaoh's birthday, he had made a feast unto the servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler and the butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker and as Joseph had interpreted. Now remember the one thing that Joseph said, the one thing he said to the butler, when you get out, when this comes to pass, please remember me. Verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph was forgotten. Joseph was forgotten. Friend, he had done nothing wrong. He had done everything right. And the one thing, the one request that he's had, and he just asked that butler, when this comes to pass, please remember me. And the Bible says specifically that that butler forgot him. He was forgotten. There's going to come times in your life, in the ministry, that you're going to be forgotten. They're going to forget you. I mean, there's going to be important days that you remember that other people don't remember and they've forgotten you. Or something happens and you got left out, you got forgotten. Here, Joseph, now he's anticipating. I just get this picture in my mind. He, you know, the butler goes and he's thinking in his mind, dear God, all right, man. I mean, I'm getting out today. And we're going to find out that it's going to be another 2 years. Another 2 years. The only thing I wanted you to do was remember me. But he was forgotten. But he wasn't forgotten. But he wasn't forgotten. You said, what do you mean? When you get to chapter 41, the Bible said it came to pass that to the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. You see, the world would say he was forgotten, but he wasn't forgotten. God knew exactly where he was. And I'm going to say something to you tonight. God's timing is perfect. We can never sit and question the timing of God in anything. God's timing is perfect. For two years, I don't see Joseph complaining. I don't sense that. I just see him picking right back up and doing the same thing today he did yesterday. I'm just going to serve in this. If this is where I'm at, I'm going to serve here. I'm going to serve here. I'm going to serve here. He was forgotten, but he wasn't forgotten. Look at verse 9. So we find out now that Pharaoh dreams this dream. Verse 9, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my thoughts this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream, and one night, and I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, and Hebrew, servant to the captain. There he is, servant. He even recognizes a servant. And we told him, and he interpreted us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted us, so it was me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. God had not forgotten Joseph. See, people would look at the life of Joseph there, and they would say, man, Joseph's finished. He's finished. 2 years he's been in that jail, 2 years he's finished. He ain't getting out. Hadn't done a thing to deserve where he's at. And they said, he's finished. But he wasn't finished. But he wasn't finished. As we come to the finish line of the thought, amen, he was finished, but he wasn't finished. The baker said, hey, I remember something now. And God's timing is perfect. I want you to look, if you will. We're in chapter 41. Look at verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not of me. Watch this. God shall give Pharaoh the answer, an answer of peace. You see, he wasn't finished, because here the Bible tells us that he got the call from the king. He got the call from the king. The king called to bring him out of the prison. And here's what I find interesting. He knew he was going into Pharaoh's presence, the man that had put him where he was, but yet he saw the need of cleaning himself up because he was going to be in the presence of Pharaoh. Hey, I mean, anybody else would go to Pharaoh and say, let me tell you something. No, he cleaned himself up and he walked into Pharaoh's presence and said, God can do that. God can. He got a call from the king. There comes a day that people say you're finished, and thank God the king is still calling. The king is still moving. The king is still drawing. The king is still using. Thank God for the call of the king. He got the call from the king. So I want you to interpret this dream for me. Look at verse 39. He did. He told him what was going to happen. He said, I just want to let you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, I want to let you know. He said, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. He said, there's going to be 7 years of famine. We need to get all we can in 7 years, because that 7 year famine, we got to give the corn out. He said, we got to get it in to get it out. Get it in to get it out. And all right, so now look at this. Now in chapter 41, verse 39, the Bible says this. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet. Watch this terminology. There is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Verse 42, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck and made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Not only did he get a call from the king, but he was arrayed by the king. The Bible said that the king put a ring on his finger. But then the Bible also said the king put some arraying, some clothes on. The last time the king was talking about him, he had been stripped of his garment by that woman that had framed him. And now the king is saying, put this on. I'm telling you, he stayed faithful. Amen. No matter what came his way, he understood that God was with him, and now he's being arrayed. He wasn't finished. Go to chapter 45 and I'll be done. Chapter 45. I'm talking about he was finished, but he wasn't finished. You get to chapter 45, verse 1. The Bible said, then Joseph. Now, let me just say this to you. Up to this point, I've skipped a lot of scripture. Now his brothers come. The very ones that forsook him in the very beginning. Now they come. They don't recognize him. And they come and they're wanting corn like everybody else. And now they come to him, and we know what Joseph did, and Joseph filled those bags full, and he would talk about Benjamin, and he would put those five extra changes of garments and that corn and amen, that money back in their bags and the cup back in their bags, and all of that would take place. And now they're coming back to him, and we get to chapter 45, and Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood to him, and he cried. He said, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brother. He's there now. He's there now with all of those that have forsook him, those brothers, amen, that throwed him into that pit that started off because they hated him. Listen to me, friend. Honor God. No matter how bad people treat you, honor God. And God will bring that thing back to pass. You say, "Preacher's too hard." I know, but we got to be like Jesus. Honor God. Now they're all there. And the Bible said, and he wept out loud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph." He said, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold." But I don't see that being with an ugly voice. I see it being with that tender, loving voice. Why? Because he was like Jesus. He said, "Listen, I'm the one you sold out. Look at me. I'm the one you sold out. Now, therefore, be not grieved." I love this. "Nor angry with yourselves." He said, "Hey, don't let this get the best of you." He said, I know now you're probably thinking about, we shouldn't have done that. He said, but just, and then he says this, "For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here." Watch this. This is beautiful. Romans 8:28. He said, "So now it is not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say to him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made thee lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold your eyes see, and the ears of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all of my glory in Egypt that ye have seen." He's not finished. He said, "You go tell daddy I'm in the glory now." You see, everything that Satan meant for bad, God in heaven has turned that for the good. And Joseph recognized the hand of God and the presence of God in every situation, everything in his life. And because of that, God honored him and said, "Now you're in the glory. And now you are going to be helping those." Amen. And at that time, they didn't want help. But because he kept the right spirit and held intact his character and honored God and recognized that God was with him, they said, "He's finished, but he's not finished." He was forsaken, but he's not forsaken. He was framed, but he was not framed. He was forgotten, but he was not forgotten. He was finished, but he was not finished. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Father,